this Shabbos is Parshas Zohar. And the Torah commands us, Zohar is Asher Osi Lecha Amalek. Remember what Amalek did to you on the road when you came from Egypt. And he tailed you on the road, and he captured those who were straggling behind, and you were tired, and he had no fear of God. So the first war that we have with Amalek happens when we come out of Egypt. The Torah tells us in Parashas Bashalach, so when it's talking about the Exodus from Egypt, and then we go through the Red Sea, and then we sing the Song of the Sea, and then Moshe brings down man from heaven. We're 30 days out of Egypt. It says, Vayisu kaladas b'nei Yisroel mimid basumi. The whole congregation of the Jewish people traveled from the wilderness of Sin at the mouth of God. And they camped in Rephidim. Ve'in mayim lishtoi so'am. And there's no water for people to drink. Vayorefu amim Moshe. So everybody starts to fight with Moshe. And they said, give us water to drink. And Moshe says, why are you arguing with me? And why are you testing God? The Torah goes on to say, Vayitzma shamo am lamayim, and the people became very thirsty for water. Vayolena amar Moshe, and they started to rebel against Moshe. Vayoymen, they said, Lama zehe lisoni mimitzrayim. They told Moshe, why did you bring us out of Egypt? Lahomis oisi vesbonai, esmiknai batzoma, and you're going to kill me and my children and my animals with thirst. And Moshe cries to God, saying, what should I do for them? In a moment, they're going to kill me. And God says to Moshe, pass in front of the people and take all the elders. Go in front of all the tribes and take the elder of each tribe and have your staff in your hand, the staff which you did the miracles with, the staff with which you smote the river Nile. Take it in your hand and go. And I am going to stand in front of you there on the rock. And I want you to hit the rock with the staff, and water will come out and everybody will be able to drink. And Moshe did so in front of the eyes of all the elders, so the elders could go back and tell the people, this is what happened. And they called that place Massa Meriva, arguing and fighting, because of the testing that they did. They tested God. They said, is God inside us or not? The next thing, the next verse says, Vayovoy Amalek Vayelochem em Yisroel b'Rephidim. Amalek came right there, right then, and he made war with the Yidden in Rephidim. So Moshe says to Yehoshua, choose people and go and make war with Amalek in the morning. I am going to stand on the mountain and I'm going to have this staff, the staff of God, in my hand. And Yehoshua did as Moshe told him to. And Moshe and Aaron and Hur, they went up the mountain. And was when Moshe raised his hands, then the Yidden overcame Amalek. And when Moshe, when his hands dropped, then Amalek overcame the Yidden. And Moshe's hands grew heavy through the day. And they put a stone underneath him, and he sat on it, and Aaron held up his hands on one side, and Hur held up his hands on the other side. And his hands were a symbol of the faith until the evening. And Yehoshua weakened Amalek and his people by the sword. And God says to Moshe, Ksoiv zois zikorim basefer. So the first time writing appears in the Torah is here in this Seder, God says to Moshe, write this down as memory in a book. V'sim ba'aznei Yehoshua, and put it into the ears of Joshua. Ki mochai emcha azeich Amalek, I am going to blot out the memory of Amalek mitachas ha-shamayim, from beneath the heavens. And Moshe builds an altar there, and he calls it, God is my miracle, or God raises me up. And he said, Ki yod al kezko milchom al Hashem ba'amolek midoidor, that there's a hand on the throne of God, that there will be war by God against Amalek from generation to generation. And then at the end, before Moshe dies, he reminds us to remember what Amalek did to us. And on this Shabbos, we take out an extra Sefer Torah, and besides reading the portion of the week, we read the mitzvah of Zechira of Amalek. So the truth is, if we didn't remember Amalek, nobody would remember him, because he'd be completely forgotten. We don't know who Amalek is. There is no people today that calls itself Amalek. And yet the Torah tells us, Timcha Ezechamar, blot out the memory of Amalek. So if we threw away this mitzvah of Amalek, Amalek would be blotted out, because nobody would remember him. He's not there in the history books. Unless we remind everybody, nobody knows he exists. And yet the Torah tells us to blot him out and not to forget. To blot him out and not to forget. The Zohar HaKadosh says that this war that happened 30 days after we came out of Egypt, it was such a heavy war that Moshe had to be fighting it in heaven while Joshua was fighting it on earth. And the Zohar HaKadosh says that even at the end of days, even in the future, when we imagine the great war of Gog and Magog, that it talks about that there will be a war to end the wars, right? All the nations of earth will come and invade the lands of the Jewish people, and in this war of Gog and Magog, this will sort of herald the coming of the Mashiach. And however we want to read that story, the Zohar HaKadosh says that the war that happened there 30 days after we came out of Egypt, that was really a heavy war, the kind that will never happen again. So there was something going on. So what happens immediately before Amalek comes is water. And Moshe brings out water from the rock. Water from a rock is not a natural thing. What could have less water in it than granite, right? Tzura Chalomish, the granite rock. And Moshe strikes it and pours enough water to feed all the Jewish people. Millions of people drink from this water. The Gemara says that when Amalek came to make war with us, Isaac came in front of heaven and he said, Yuchan Rosha, why are the Jewish people going to win this war? Amalek is descended from Esav. Esav is also one of my children. Why are the Jewish people going to win this war and not the children of Esav? Why the children of Yaakov and not the children of Esav? To us today, it would seem impossible to understand such a thing, that Isaac would actually argue that Amalek should win, right? But this is what's happening. And it comes about because For us, God has brought out water from a rock. And who were we? We were on the road to testing God, right? 10 times we tested God. The Gemara says, why is the place called Rephidim? The Rephidim, you could read it Rafu Yadayim. We really, our hands were weak. We didn't want to hold on to the Torah. You know, we came out of Egypt. You know, we had been, for hundreds of years, we'd been slaves, you know, but as we've said many times, that we became very pagan in Egypt. It was very easy to become pagan in Egypt. And now Moshe gives us all these laws of Shabbos and stuff. We weren't in such a big hurry to get into the minutiae of being Jewish. At this point in our history, we hadn't received the Torah at Sinai. Isaac, looking down from the world of truth, he can't see such a big difference between the Jewish people and the Amalekite people. And he says, God, if you're going to start bringing water out of the rock, there's no justice in that. Where's the justice in water from a rock? Water comes from a river, comes from rain, comes down a mountain. Yes, melt, snow melt. You know what? There's a rock. If you're doing miracles, God, well, why don't you do miracles for the other kids? Yitzchak is looking at his children. If we're talking miracles here, you can miraculously, you bring water from a rock, you can do whatever you want, God. So why is Yaakov got all these children of Israel and Esau's got a Molech? You could do something for Esau. You could make his children tzaddikim. You could make his children good. If for no reason at all you make water come out of a rock and you change the nature of reality, then change the nature of this reality. Why is it that these Jewish people who really, they don't really want it, but you're going to make the narrative happen by hook or by crook, however long it takes, that they're going to want it? No. So do it for the other children as well. Do it for Esav. A question like this, coming from Isaac, can upset the whole order of the universe. Remember, when we were learning Sefer Yetzirah, we were learning from the Gemara that God comes to Avraham and he says, your children have sinned. What are we going to do about it? You know, and Avraham says, well, you know, let them expunge their sins by, you know, let them work it out. God says, let me go to Jacob. You know, at least he suffered a little with his children. He won't just shrug his shoulders that way. And he says to Yaakov, your children have sinned. And Yaakov says, no, so let them work it off. And God says, nishdos, you don't get any good advice from the old people and the young ones, you know, forget it. He goes to Isaac and he says, your children have sinned. And Isaac says, wait a minute, my children. So when they're standing at Sinai and they say, we want the Torah now, so finish, but then they're your children. Now they've sinned, they're my children. And he starts to do a reckoning with God. How much did they sin? When they're young, they didn't sin. When they're old, when they're sleeping, they didn't sin. When they're eating and on the washing themselves, when they're davening. So how much did they sin? You know, let's say they sinned 12 and a half years out of a 70-year life. So I'll take half and you take half. You don't want to take God. You don't want to take any of it. All right. I'll take it all. And look, there are my ashes on the altar. I gave already at the office. So at that moment, Isaac shows God, shows us God. We were learning in Sefer Yetzirah that that's a pivotal moment in the history of the universe, but it depends on Isaac, right? Because if justice is going to happen, Mishpat, well, along comes Isaac, you know, because Isaac is Gevurah, Isaac is the law. When Isaac blesses Jacob, he says, V'yitin l'cho elikim mital ha-shamayim mishman eretz. He uses the name Elohim, the judge. God will give you from the dew of heaven if you deserve it. If you don't deserve, you don't get. So Isaac is the one who demands justice. No. He sees that God brings out water from the rock. He says, we're not talking justice here. If we're not talking justice, if you can bend the laws of the universe, then bend it for me also. Bend it for the other children. And at that moment, there's some really, really heavy things happening. Because if Isaac can prevail on God to sort of give Amalek a chance, the whole history of the universe is going to change. He can't have a chance. Why can't he have a chance? You know, the next time we encounter Amalek is King Shaul. You know, when there are three mitzvahs, there are three commandments that depend on coming into the land of Israel. A king, we set up a king, we appoint a king, or we nominate, or we crown somebody a king, and we destroy Amalek and we build a temple. So King Shaul is crowned king, and the first mitzvah that he has is now to make war with Amalek, and he leaves the king of Amalek alive. And immediately he gets removed from the kingship, and it passes over to David, and that's the end of the line of King Shaul. Except that he has descendants, and that's Mordechai and Esther who really fix. Why would Shaul leave Amalek alive? You know, the Gemara says that he learned a dandin kal v'chomer, that he extrapolated with an exegesis, he figured out that the God can't mean us to kill everybody, and it can't be God. God wouldn't sell. You know, sometimes a person can be too clever, right? And it's true, if you were to say to somebody today, you know, there's a mitzvah in the Torah to kill every remnant of this tribe and not to leave, not a man, not a woman, not an animal, not nothing, to kill, to destroy, to, hey, they'd say that's genocide. And that's exactly what God is commanding us to. Of course, there is no such people today as Amalek, but let's say we do identify Amalek. Am I ready to do Mechias Amalek? Am I ready to kill every man, woman, child, and so forth of this tribe of Amalek? Or am I going to say, you know what, I can't believe God would demand such a thing, or God would instruct such a thing. God, who is good, wouldn't tell us to do such a thing. And that's what Shaul said, right? And immediately he lost the kingdom. You know, wherever we find Amalek, we find Yisroi, the father-in-law of Moshe. In the Torah, he's generally called the Keni, because that was one of his names. And For instance, just before Shaul goes to war with Amalek, he sends a message to the Keni, and he says, separate yourselves from Amalek, because we're going to war with them, and you're always kind to us, and you came to us in the wilderness, and so forth. And when Bilam is cursing Amalek, or when he looks at Amalek, he sees the next to him, he says the Keni, he sees Yisroi, Jethro, the father-in-law of Moshe, and his family. You know, Yisroi came to Moshe in the wilderness. What kindness did he do? You know, Shaul says to him, separate yourself, you know, draw away from the Amalekite, because we're going to make war with Amalek, and you know, you did this kindness with us. What kindness did he gave this? He gave an idea to Moshe to set up a hierarchy of judges. And Moshe followed his advice, and you know, there's sort of like a pyramid with Moshe at the top, and underneath him magistrates and judges and so forth, all the way down until every 10 people like had a rabbi that they could go to with a question, and if he didn't know, he went to his rabbi. So Yisroi, he sees something really important. He says, Moshe, when you look at somebody, you know if they're guilty or innocent. You know, you look at them, you can see. You're Moshe Rabbeinu, there's nothing hidden. So, if somebody committed a murder, you'll know it, and you'll put them to death. But you know, sometimes a person can do teshuvah. Sometimes a person can turn their life around, and something good can come off that person, and then God has a way of turning even a murder into a constructive act. You know, God can change the history, can change the narrative. Everything can be turned around. So, Rabbeinu Shalom, if you see things, he says to Moshe, you're going to put somebody to death because you see what he did, right? If you appoint judges who are, you know, just mortal, so to speak, then they'll make mistakes sometimes. And sometimes it's important for a judge to make mistakes, because sometimes a criminal gets another chance. You know, like today in the courts, if you read the newspaper, you can see some terrible people get off with terrible crimes. What? Because there was some technicality, you know, the policeman didn't read him his Miranda rights, so you know, somebody searched the trunk of his car and they found the dead body, but they didn't have a warrant, so it's not evidence. So sometimes people get off with the technicality. And Yisroi, this is the idea, this is the chesed, this is the loving kindness, this is the amazing thing, that he instituted the judges, the magistrates, the court system. It doesn't go through Moshe. And you know something? Judges make mistakes. And in doing so, people who are guilty get another chance. And if it was just Moshe who said guilty or innocent, nobody would get another chance, because Moshe didn't make mistakes. This is an amazing thing. But you see, again, it comes back to Amalek. Isaac says, Rabbeinu Shalom, if this is what's going on, if this is how the world works, that even criminals get another chance because of the way you've set up the system, that it goes through people who make mistakes in their judgment. And so if that's the way you run the world, then again, even if my son Esau is wicked, why can't you arrange it so that he comes out somehow with another chance? If the criminal can get off, let off with some kind of a technicality, and then who knows, sometime way down the line there's an expiation of the guilt, and he works it through, and something good comes of the crime. Because God, you're capable of doing that. No. So do it for Esav too. When Amalek comes to make war with us, this is what's happening. Moshe is up there in heaven, and Joshua is down here on earth. And we, the Jewish people, we're fighting for our life. Because Isaac, the just, Isaac who lives by the law, Isaac who is the Merkava of Gevurah. What does Gevurah say? Gevurah says it's the law. It's like the law of gravity. It's not just a good idea. A person falls off a building, it's not just a good idea. They fall because it's the law. So Isaac says to Ribbono Shel Olam, Master of the Universe, if the law is not the law, if the law is not the law, what's going to happen? So there's two things. You know, the first thing that Amalek does is he makes us question our own integrity. Where does Amalek come from? You know, when God said to Adam, Hamin ha'etz, have you eaten from the tree that I commanded you not to eat of it? God knew that Adam had eaten and Chava had eaten. But the question sets up a resonance in the heart of Adam. Did I? Have I done the ultimate evil? And even though Adam hasn't done the ultimate evil, and as will be shown in the future, Adam only ate from the good of the tree of knowledge and not the evil. And in fact, it will turn out that he was commanded to eat from the good of the tree of knowledge. But the question, the existential question that we ask ourselves all the time, did I? That doubt, it just keeps on going around and around and around inside a human being. Amalek feeds on that doubt. Amalek is the one who is always trying to tell the person, you really did the ultimate evil. You really are the ultimate evil. And even when a person is doing something right, Amalek is there saying, what's the point? What's it worth? It's not really. You really think? How long will it last? It's not going to endure anyway. You don't really mean this. Your motives aren't pure. Amalek is the one who undermines the self. See, God makes us human by putting that question inside us. Amalek keeps on telling us we're not human. We're less than human. We don't deserve to be human. We can't aspire to be human. The Gemara says, Minayin remez lahaman min ha-Torah, where is there a hint to Haman in the Torah? And it brings that pasuk, Hamin ha-etz, have you eaten from the tree? And the word Hamin can be read Haman. Haman comes to Achashverosh and says, there's a people who are a worthless people. Mufuza mefoir, it's not even worthwhile having them around. Like Hitler, Yimach Shemoy. So these people, they're a disease. They spread out and they just replicate, and there's nothing good in them. It's all bad. How could you point to the Jewish people and say there's nothing good, it's all bad? Yeah. Because even the good is bad. Just no, not worth, it's not worth to have them in the world. Anything that passes for good is really, it's nothing. It's Gornish. And Amalek, Haman does that, he says to Ahasuerus about the Jewish people in general, like Hitler. He would say, yeah, each one of us thinks we know some Jew who's worthwhile, has worth, but you have to overcome that feeling. It's not real. Jews have to go off planet Earth, and planet Earth is not going to be, it's not going to be worthwhile until they're gone. They cover the face of planet Earth. You know, this is what Moshe is saying to us. This is what God is saying about Amalek. That so long as Amalek is on Earth, there is something of God that is hidden. Because the something of God is inside us. And Amalek is always there, always able to cover the divine. And so, it's an act of faith to say every human being has inside them the light. Every human being is a light. Every human being has God. Every human being has a holy soul. And Amalek is the one who says, no, Jews don't. There are people today who say that. You know, I believe some kind of Islam has this thing that, you know, all religions have worth except Judaism. It's not a religion. I don't know who's Amalek today. Still in Persia, maybe. Ahmadinejad, what does he say? We'll dream of a world without Zionism, he says. We'll dream of a world without Zionism. You know, if somebody wants to worship God, they can worship God. But you know something? As soon as you, this God, this supposed God worshiper, you give him what he wants, do you know what he wants? He wants you to worship his God. Right? So we say Islam is another religion, you know, the freedom of religion, right? So what is his religion? That you have to give up your religion and become part of his. And Christianity was just the same, right? The Christians also said, we want to worship God. That's all we want to do. We want to worship God. All right, so I'll give you the world and let you worship God. What's the first thing you want to do? Oh, you Jew, you need to give up your religion and become my religion. You know, I haven't smoked a cigarette in 25 years, right? So very often, my mind, which wants to kill me, says, Hashi, you're not really addicted to tobacco. Because if you were really addicted to tobacco, you wouldn't have been able to go 25 years without a cigarette, right? So, moments like that, I think of this Torah and I say to myself, okay, Hershey, let's think this through. You're not a tobacco addict, you're not an addict, Bechlal, because of course you're very powerful and you've been 25 years without a cigarette. So let's assume for a moment you're really not a tobacco addict. What's the first thing you'll do with that knowledge? And I say to myself, buy myself a pack of cigarettes if I'm not an addict. And I say to myself, no, Hashi, if that's the first thing that you would do, if you discover that you're not an addict, is you'd actually go and buy a packet? No, are you or aren't you? Amalek, he has plenty chances. And what does he do with his chances? He only has one thing. He wants to prove that you are nothing. That your religion is nothing. That you mean nothing. That you don't have a right to be. Why? You know, the Malchus Beis David, King David, is the heart of the Jewish people. if you listen to King David, you get in touch with your own heart. Amalek is the flip side. He's the dark heart. And you know, there's a heart of light and there's a heart of dark. And it's very difficult for us who have a heart of light to comprehend the evil of the heart of dark. It's very hard. Who can look into a heart and say this is evil? Who? Hitler thought that he could. Those Germans, those Nazis, they said, yeah, we look into the heart of the Jew, it's evil. And you know, that's what Amalek does. And God says, Hevra, listen to me. I know it's going to be hard for you because you have a heart full of light. But there is such a thing as a heart full of darkness. You have to remember. Because if you don't remember, you'll be consumed by it. When you encounter the heart of darkness, you have to kill it. And it doesn't mean, you know, just some stranger. Khalil. God forbid, that's not what I mean. God says, I am going to point out to you one day, this is Amalek, and you have to be ready. And not start equivocating like King Saul. King Saul lost everything because he wouldn't listen to me at that moment. And you know, God says, I, God, look into the heart. And this is what I say to Isaac, ultimately. Isaac, don't argue with me about this. Don't try and negotiate for Esau some kind of a miraculous water from the rock. I should change the narrative around and make everything work out well for him. You know something? Isaac, you should know that your son Esau, he's a heart of darkness. And your son Jacob has a heart of light. And one of them has to go, because if he doesn't, then he will take the heart of light and use it for dark. Mechias Amalek, the blotting out of Amalek requires two things. One of them, it requires that a person believe in their own integrity. I'm a Jew. I have integrity as a Jew. I have integrity as a human being. My Torah has integrity. My history has integrity. My existence has integrity. And I have to believe, as a Jew, this is what Mechias Amalek is. I have to believe that the opposite exists. That there exist people who have no integrity, who don't have the light. And if I forget this, then the story of Haman, the Megillah, the story of the Jewish people, becomes a horrible narrative of disaster and danger and destruction, like we see in Germany, like we see in Persia, like we see Ahmadinejad, like we see all over the Middle East. We see people who take the sweetest people in the world, the Jewish people, who have a heart full of light, and they accuse the Jewish people of being Nazis and being cruel and having no heart. And who are these people who say these things? I think they may be Amalek. I bless you and me. We should have a kosher Purim, which means that we should blot out, each of us, Amalek, which means you have to believe in your own integrity. You have to believe in yourself. You have to accept, in spite of the evidence, that you have integrity and that you have worth and that you're a Jew and that you have Torah and that you are who you're supposed to be and that the opposite does exist. There isn't a universality of worth, that there are unworthy, that there is such a thing, and it goes right to the heart of heaven. And only God can really decide. Only God can really see into the heart and see which is which.